Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 55 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is Sunday, May 17th, and I am your host, Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S. It has been about 2 weeks since I recorded, so I'm trying this new schedule like I mentioned I would the last time. And we'll see how it goes. I do have a lot to talk about since it has been a couple of weeks. So, buckle up and enjoy the ride. Hopefully you will not hear background noise. I'm recording while my husband and daughter and a friend watch this week's Game of Thrones. I am still working on catching up on that. But, I had to turn off the fan in here because you could hear it on the recording, which means you may be able to hear a little bit of background noise if something exciting happens. And I hope not, because like I said, I'm still trying to catch up and I don't want spoilers. I am one of those people who really does not like spoilers at all. So you won't ever hear them from me. Let's see. What are we going to talk about today? Finished objects, works in progress, spinning, enabling in the kitchen, a little bit of what I'm reading, and a little bit of what I've been up to. So let's get started with the knitting. Finished objects. I actually have two this week. Both of these I started since the last time I recorded. Well, no, that's not true. I had started one of them and started the other one afterwards. So the first one that I finished was Worm, and I think I had just barely started that the last time I recorded. I know I had started it after I got back from Washington, D.C. because I used the yarn that I had bought there. So Worm is a free pattern, and it's spelled W-U-R-M, and it is designed by Katarina Knopp. And I used Miss Babs Yummy 3-Ply in the Terra colorway, which, interestingly enough, when I bought it, it was because it looked so green. It was very, very green, rich, you know, teals and greens, and just loved it. I still loved it. But the finished project actually looks more blue than green. It is lovely. It's Miss Babs. Of course it's lovely. The colors are just so rich, and it's just super, super vibrant. And I had absolutely no issues whatsoever when I, I don't remember soaking it. What am I talking about? I thought I had checked it for color fastness. I don't know what I'm talking about. I didn't block the hat. So I don't know what I'm thinking about. Probably my other Miss Babs, which I will talk about in a few minutes. Anyway, so I finished that. The pattern calls for 10 purl ridges. If you've ever seen the hat, it has a folded brim. Is that what you call it? Where you knit twice as long and then you fold it under and seam it. And then a series of stockinette and purl ridges. And the original pattern has you do a certain number. I think it had you do 10, and then I did 7 because I didn't want it as slouchy as the original. And in retrospect, I probably could have done 6 and been happy with it. I like a little bit of slouch. I don't like super, super slouchy. But overall, I'm very pleased with the pattern and I cannot wait to wear it. I actually took it to work because we've had some days where it's been very, very cold. Welcome to over air conditioning in Houston, Texas. It was so, so cold a couple of days. And of course, as soon as I brought it, it warmed up and I didn't need it, but I thought I'd like to have it just in case. So that was my first finished object. And the second one that I did was Zuzu's Petals, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard of. It is a paid pattern by Karina Spencer. And I wanted something to use the hand spun that I did, the Unwind Yarn Company Merino Silk in the Evergreen colorway. And I'm also still doing the Harry Potter Knit and Crochet House Cup, and this fit one of the prompts. And this was a super fast pattern. I cast this on last Saturday, so the day before Mother's Day here in the States. And had I not been busy, well, no, that's not true. I thought when I was making it that if I had not been busy, I probably could have made it through the whole thing over the weekend. Turned out that the second, quote, half was maybe more than half in retrospect. But I did the first, there's two sections. One is just a stockinette section, and the second part is a lace pattern. I did the entire stockinette section in one day, and it took me maybe 3 or 4 evenings to do the rest of it. Very, very pleased with it. It was a super easy pattern, and it's great with hand spun. It is currently blocking, so I have, and obviously it's not, I'm in Houston, so it is not cold enough for me to wear it, but it is super lovely, and I'm very, very pleased with it. What I am currently working on, I've got quite a few things. I did a little bit on the sock yarn blanket last week, and I think I only got one square done, but I did do a little bit, so I'll mention that. I need to pick it back up. Thought about doing it this afternoon. It was just a little warm, and I didn't feel like having the blanket in my lap. I might work on it a little bit later tonight and just get a square done. And I'm using the version, the mitered square sock yarn blanket by Shelley Kang, if you want to Google that or look on Ravelry. One of the other whips I'm working on is the TGV. This is a paid pattern by Susan Ashcroft. I'm using Undead Yarn Vampire in the Zombified colorway. And if I remember correctly, and Heidi can correct me in the Ravelry group if she wants to, but if I remember correctly, Heidi changed the base that she uses for Vampire sometime within the past year. So what I'm using may not be the same as what you would get if you ordered that now. But I am almost done with this. I started binding off Friday at work, and I just didn't have time to get it done. And I was afraid to bring it home over the weekend to finish the bind off, because I was afraid that if I brought it home, it would just stay stuck in the bag and I would forget that it was there. So I left it at work. I'll finish the bind off tomorrow, and I'll bring another one of my long unfinished objects, UFOs, to work with me to work on. I think Clapotee is the next one that I have that I want to bring with me to work on. So I'm almost, just like I said, I'm almost done with that. I think I was at least halfway through the bind off, if not more. So that will be done tomorrow for sure. The Tulane Highway Rage Socks. This is another paid pattern. This one is by Sarah Stevens. I'm doing this in another Crafty Girl Twinkle sock in gamut. And I don't remember exactly how much, let's see. The last time I recorded, I had started the toe and was several rows, I think maybe 7 repeats up the foot. And I've just done a little bit more than that. I still haven't reached the heel on that. They have been relegated back to the car for my car knitting, and we just haven't been going very many places. So I will actually, I probably will pull those out. Well, I don't know. I'll need something to knit on for graduation in a couple of weeks. And the question is whether I want to try to finish those and cast something else on, or if I want to just get past the heel on those and bring those. I think that's probably what I'll do. I don't foresee myself knitting enough over the next couple of weeks that I would finish by then. So that is probably what I'll do. I just love, the yarn is beautiful. The sock pattern is great. It'll be a fun pair that I can wear in the fall. Because again, Houston, it's hot. The Yaza Wayett shawl, I only did a little bit on this. This is another paid pattern. This is by Susan B. Anderson. And this is version 3 that I am doing. I'm using Miss Babs Yaza in the Blue Ridge colorway. And like I said, I think I worked on this a little bit last week. I think maybe on Sunday. I'm not sure what day. But I just maybe did a row or two. I didn't really get very much done on that at all. But that's still a work in progress. And then the last work in progress is a new one. It's new on the needles. I finally cast on a Hitofude, which everybody and their mother seems to have done. This is a paid pattern by Hiroku Fukatsu. And it's really, really cheap pattern. It's about $1.70, something like that. It's given in yen. I think it's about 200 yen, which right now is translating to about a little over $1.50, if I remember correctly. So I'm working on that, and I ordered the yarn for this on Mother's Day. So I didn't have the yarn to do a Mother's Day cast on, which I really wanted to do, but I didn't have a project that really spoke to me that I wanted to do that was special enough to cast on for Mother's Day. So instead, what I did was buy the yarn for the Hitofude on that day. So I ordered my yarn as my Mother's Day gift and cast on. Well, I didn't cast on, but I swatched the day I got the yarn. Oh, and the yarn I bought, I ended up buying Miss Babs Katahdin in the Ivy's colorway, Ivy apostrophe S, which is really kind of a foresty green with some browns. It's a tonal green with some brown in there as well. It is really pretty. It's a very light fingering. I don't know that I noticed when I was ordering the yarn. I was really looking for a single ply because the original pattern called for, I think this was what the original pattern was in, but it was Tosh Merino Light, which is a single ply fingering weight yarn. And that's what I had wanted to do. I thought about ordering Madeline Tosh. I thought about ordering Machita by Malabrigo, which is their newest yarn, I believe, which is, it's probably a very, very similar base, a single ply fingering weight yarn. But then I was looking at the yarns that other people had done this pattern with, and I noticed that some people had used, the Katahdin, and I went and looked, and the good thing about this is that one skein, it is expensive yarn, but one skein is about 1,750 yards, I believe. And the whole point of the Hitofude is that the name means one stroke in Japanese. So the idea behind it is that you could do the entire sweater without having to cut your yarn. Of course, if you have multiple skeins, you have to join new yarn. But the beauty of having this 1,700 yard skein is that theoretically I should be able to do the whole thing without cutting it. Now that's not quite true because with the cast on you do two provisional cast ons for the sleeves, but other than that it's one continuous stroke. But when I got the Katahdin, it turns out that it's applied yarn. It's very similar to similar in weight to, say, Cascade Heritage Sock, or I think No Makers may be the same base or a very similar base, or like her House Gnome. I think that's the one. Unwind Yarn Company Honeymoon Sock is a similar weight too, I believe. So it's a little sturdier. And not, well, I won't say it's not as soft, but it isn't as soft, but it is a really nice yarn. And I believe, if I am correct, I had forgotten this until I was working on it today. I think it's actually a BFL yarn and not Merino. I'm actually going to check that really quick and see if I can do that and talk at the same time. The funny thing with this is that I paid to have the yarn wound before it was sent because I knew how big it was. And it came in this ginormous cake. I mean, it is bigger than my head. Probably diameter-wise, it's probably about twice the size of my head. If you follow me on Instagram, you may have seen the picture where I put my hand next to it. It's giant. It is a giant cake of yarn. But I love it. Wait, I'm on the I'm on the Katahdin page. And come on, give me some information about this yarn here. It is 1,750 yarns of 14 ounces. It's 100% BFL, Blue Face Luster. So it has just a little bit more of a tooth to it. And I'm really enjoying it. It's also, the other one that it reminds me of, and this may be the same base, although it feels a little smoother. The one I used for Jimmy's Shirt a Girl socks earlier this year was, oh gosh. I can't remember. Wandering Wool. It was 100% BFL. So that may be the same base, but it's just a little toothier, and it feels really nice. And the colors are beautiful, and it is going to make a fantastic sweater. I did actually swatch for it, and I ended up using a size 3. The pattern calls for a size 4, but I got gauged. I happened to have 3s attached to a long cable already, and I know that I usually have to go down a size, so I went ahead and just tried it with that, and lo and behold, I got gauged. So, amazing. Anyway, those are all of my works in progress. I'm pretty pleased with... Oh, okay, well, those are the only ones that I've worked on. I actually have my Newton shawl back here with me in our room to work on in case I finish recording before Game of Thrones is over, because I don't want to go out. Like I said, I really hate spoilers. So I may work on that a little bit. But if I do, I'll talk about that in the next one. Spinning. I have down here that I have done some on my spindle. I actually don't think I worked on it, but what is on my spindle is a BFL Firestar blend created by Elsie in the De La Art colorway. And I couldn't even tell you what colors it is right now. It's been so long since I worked on it. I am still spinning 15 minutes a day, other than when I was in Washington. And then I think a couple of nights ago, I didn't get any spinning in just because we were so busy. But, I haven't done any spindle spinning in a couple of weeks. I need to get back to that. On my Ladybug, I finished the Fat Cat Knits that I had started right after I got back from Washington. It's a Corydale Cross comb top in Sweet Torty. It was browns and kind of that orange, like a tabby cat orange. And, what other colors? Gray. And kind of a purpley gray. If you think about a Russian blue cat, that kind of purpley color, similar to that. And I finished that. Let's see. I think I finished it yesterday. Yeah, I finished it up yesterday, soaked it, and let it dry. I really like. I liked the yarn, or I liked spinning it once I got used to it. Unfortunately, the first skein, the first bobbin, I really, really overspun it. The Corydale has such a longer staple than anything I'd ever spun before that it just took me a while to find my groove with it. I mean, really, it took me probably half the braid. So the first bobbin was super overspun in places, and the second bobbin I did great on. So, when I plied it, I had a really hard, well, first of all, I was having a hard time spinning it in the first place, but plying it, it was really a pain, because I couldn't match it, but I was trying to unspin a little bit, you know, to make it not quite so bumpy. And, you can probably hear my cats, they hate it when I have a closed door. But, anyway, I just really didn't enjoy plying it very much. I ended up with about 145 yards of a worsted, and it does indeed look like a torty cat. I think that actually, because I'm not super happy with the texture of it, I will probably actually just use it for a stuffy, and I'll probably make a cat, because that would be really cute, right? I would spin Corydale again, but it's not my favorite. No, was it a Corydale? Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not sure. I think it was Corydale. Yeah, I guess that's right. And so today I put something else on the ladybug. I started Nitty and Color Merino Bamboo in Street Spirit, and this was gifted to me by Bookish Stitcher for my birthday back in February. And I've been working through my fiber stash chronologically, so I finally got to this one. I knew that I was going to enjoy it because I've done Merino Bamboo before, and it was actually one of the first skeins that I felt like I kind of did the yarn justice. Of course, you know, that was several skeins ago now, and when I look at it, I'm sure I'll be like, oh, wow, that wasn't very good. But it was much better than anything else I had done. So I was really looking forward to spinning this one because I really enjoyed spinning the first Merino Bamboo. And yes, I am very much enjoying spinning this. It is, the prep is just amazing. It spins, literally it spins like butter. And I mean, if you're not a spinner, I'm sorry, but I'm spending so much time on this. But I don't have to pre-draft it at all. And spinning it, I'm just pulling out just the tiniest bits of fiber to spin at a time. And it is spinning up so thin. It is incredibly thin. I mean, I absolutely think I can get a sock weight yarn out of this. So I decided that I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try to 3-ply this one. Fortunately, I did not have, my wheel only came with 3 bobbins, so I actually needed another bobbin. So I'll go ahead and talk about it here. It's not really enabling, but I bought myself an AcreWorks bobbin today, which should be here in a week or two, which is fine because this is going to take me forever to spin. It is spinning so thin. Usually, how I usually spin is I'll pull off a length of fiber that's probably close. They're usually about a foot long, and I'll spin off that. And then unless I have a lot of time, I'll just set my timer for 15 minutes and I'll get my 15 minutes in. And with what I've been doing recently, I can usually get 3 of those lengths of fiber spun in 15 minutes. Today I did 15 minutes and I didn't even finish 1. That's how thin it was spinning and how I was just, it's going to take forever, but it's going to be worth it. And I can't wait to see what it looks like. So the colors on this are, it's kind of it's a very dark base. I can't quite tell what color it is yet. It's probably charcoal. I don't think it's black, but it's charcoal or a navy blue or maybe a dark purple or a dark green. It's a very, very dark fiber, and then it has spots of basically neon through it. It reminds me of the reflections on a wet city street of the neon lights, or it reminds me a little bit of sidewalk chalk, and it is just lovely. And you'll probably be hearing about this one for a while because, like I said, it's going to take forever to spin. Enabling, let's see. So obviously I mentioned that I ordered the AcreWorks spindle today. I don't have that, and that's not very exciting. I mean, it's exciting. It's the first time I've bought myself a new spindle. I mean, new bobbin, but that's it. I did order some mini skeins from No Makers a little bit ago. I don't even remember when it was, but she had the Avengers mini skein set, and since I'm making the blanket for Laura, she is a big Avengers fan, so I will work those in, probably in sequence, right in the middle of where I am, just do all of them side by side, so she'll have her little Avengers section of the blanket. And then I've already talked about the Katahdin. So those are the only 2 enabling that I've done. And I'm actually at this point trying not to buy any for a while. If I buy anything, it will probably be fiber because I just don't have a big fiber stash and I always want to have something on the wheel. So we'll see. Like I said, I don't really plan to buy any more yarn. I doubt I'll make it to a yarn store when we go to North Carolina. If I do, that's an acceptable purchase. And, yeah, I just don't really have any... Well, we do have a fiber festival coming up in Houston in summer. And so I'll make some purchases there. But other than that, I'm trying to tone it down a bit. In the kitchen, I do have a few things to talk about this week. It's been a couple of weeks, and actually none of these are super fresh in my mind anymore, so this will probably be just a little gloss over. But the first thing on the list is another recipe from Sally's Baking Addiction. I made the Sunshine Lemon Cupcakes, and these were so incredibly good. I love lemon cake anyway, and it was just so good. Her recipes are just amazing. It was just a very basic cupcake recipe, and I don't remember the details. I guess there was a little bit of milk, and then the rest of the liquid was the lemon juice, and you add the lemon zest, so the cake itself was super lemony, and then you do a cream cheese lemon icing. And this was where I did run into trouble, but I had to fudge just a little bit because it called for a certain amount of powdered sugar and then the juice of lemon, and it was too thin. If I had put that on there, it just would have run down the sides. So I ended up adding a lot more powdered sugar, probably about a cup more than what the recipe actually called for before I got a consistency that I thought would actually stay put on the cupcake. And I wouldn't think it affected the taste. I think ultimately the issue was that there was more juice in the lemon than what she got when she made the recipe. So I'm thinking the proportion of sugar to lemon was probably about the same as what it should have been. They were just so good. Really, really good. I've never been a fan of making cupcakes. I've always found them tedious. I think now that I've discovered how easy it is to pipe icing onto them, I'm more willing to make them. They're not easy to transport though, so I'll probably only make them every once in a while and when they come up in the rotation of this cookbook experiment that I'm doing. But those were just great. And then the other two things that were successful that I want to talk about are actually dinner recipes, not desserts. And both of them were super easy. And I made these not this past week, but the week before. The first one was the simple spaghetti fra diavolo. And this was a Pinterest recipe I found. I guess both of these were Pinterest recipes. And this was just spaghetti with a very basic tomato sauce. If you've had fra diavolo, it's basically a spicy tomato sauce. But it's a very thin sauce that just coats the noodles. And I don't actually remember much of the details. I know it used tomato puree rather than tomato paste or tomato sauce, so just a little thicker sauce, and some red pepper, and I think there might have been Parmesan cheese in the sauce itself. It was just a very basic sauce, and it's super easy for a weeknight. You make the pasta, and then you just toss it with the sauce, and you're ready to go. Really, really good. I will put a link to that in the show notes, or not the show notes, because I'm just not doing show notes these days, but I'll put a link in the Ravelry group. And if you're not in Ravelry and you want a recipe, feel free to comment on the blog. Even though there may not be show notes there, I do check comments, so I can always send recipes. The other one was a slow cooker red beans and rice, which was also really, really good. You use dried red beans, the small red beans, and a pound of sausage. I called for, andouille sausage, and that's what I used. And then some Worcester sauce and some other spices and some tomato paste, I believe. And I actually don't remember all of the ingredients for that either. But it was, again, it was one of these things I could throw in the slow cooker right before work and have it going all day. And it was also very, very good. It was really spicy. And at the time, oh, well, that was one of the things. It had Cajun seasoning. I used Tony Chachere's for that. And it was really spicy. It was actually almost too spicy for me to eat. And I thought it was the Chachere's. I thought, well, I'll cut that in half next time. But when I had it for leftovers the next night or another night that week, and realized it was not, it actually was the sausage that was so spicy. So I would use a different sausage this time, the next time I make it, which I will make this again. It was a super easy recipe. Again, I'll put a link to that one in the Ravelry group. And then the only other thing I want to talk about, I can't tell you anything about how good it was because it was a kitchen fail. It was really frustrating. So I had a recipe, I had found a recipe for butter chicken, the Indian dish, and I really had wanted it. I mean, I specifically sought out the recipe to make. And I had the crock pot, or the slow cooker I have, is a 3-in-1 by Cuisinart. So you can brown or saute in it. And then you can switch it to slow cooker mode. Well, that's what I did. I cooked the chicken like I was supposed to. And then I had switched it to slow cooker. And I had actually, you know, I had tasted the sauce, so I knew that it was actually going to taste good. And then I had been looking forward to it all day. And then Jimmy texted me in the afternoon, right about the time I was leaving, and told me that the crock pot had cut, or the slow cooker had shut off, and he didn't know how long it had been off. And his first thought was, oh, well, we could just move it to the stove and do it that way, right? And I'm like, no. We cannot do that because I don't know how long it has been off, and that's a food safety issue. So we had to dump it, and honestly, looking at it, I don't think it had cooked at all. I think it had shut off early in the process. And we had gotten an error. I looked at the manual, and apparently you get that when it's overheated. So I'm glad it turned off rather than causing a fire or something. But it is not broken for good. And I want to try the recipe again. I'm going to give it a shot on a day when we're here where I can monitor it. But it was very frustrating, and I still haven't gotten my Indian food kick yet, or fix yet. So, that was my in the kitchen, my womp-womp fail. Let's see, what else? What I'm reading, I finished the book that I was talking about last time, Grave Mercy, by Robin Lefevers, and I talked about it last time. It was about a young woman who was an assassin in a convent. They are basically, they are serving the ancient god of death, or this is in the kind of Middle Ages, or right before the Middle Ages, and it's right around the time that Christianity was introduced into England, so a lot of the old gods were replaced by Christian saints. So the god, or it was the god of death, who was Mortain, was renamed as Saint Mortain. So they were the convent serving Saint Mortain, and they basically exacted death upon people that were chosen. It's fantasy, but it was really good. There was a little bit of romance. I think I talked about that in the last time when I don't know if I talked about it in a review or if I talked about it in the podcast, but it's historical fiction with a little bit, obviously, of a fantasy thrown in because of, you know, the death assassins. But there's also some romance, so you've got the historical romance feel too. And I thought it was really good. There are more in the series. I know that the next one is about one of the other assassins, and I think I would like to read that at some point. Definitely worth reading. And then the next thing I was supposed to read was, 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez, but My Hold for Drums of Autumn, which is the fourth in the Outlander series by Diana Gabaldon, My Hold came through at the library. So that took precedence. I finished one, and then My Hold happened to come in the same day. So I started that, and I'm really enjoying that. I really have liked the Outlander series. I had read or listened to the first three several years ago when I actually worked at a hospital, and my commute was longer. I actually drove, whereas now I ride the bus. So I listened to a lot of books that way. And then I remember starting to read the Drums of Autumn probably when I had first switched jobs, but I didn't drive enough, so I just wasn't able to get into it as an audiobook. And I put it aside and I never picked it up. And of course now with all of the Outlander hype, I really wanted to read it again. So I put it on hold and I've got it, and I'm probably maybe 15% of the way through it. So I doubt I'll actually get finished with it before My Hold comes up, and then I don't know what I'm going to do. No clue, because I'll probably end up having to buy the Kindle version, because there's no way I'm going to set it aside to wait for My Hold again. But so that's what I'm reading. If you have not read the Outlander series and you like time travel or you like historical fiction, I highly recommend the series, both the mini series or the series on Stars, if you have access to it. We actually ended up buying the series on iTunes because we don't get Stars. And I've only watched the first few episodes, but I really, really liked what I saw. So if you don't want to read it, I recommend watching it. And if you haven't read it, I recommend reading it. What I've been up to, let's see. So last Sunday was Mother's Day here in the States. So it was kind of my day. I got to do what I wanted to do. And for breakfast, I had originally requested beignets, which there's a place in Sugar Land, which is near where we live, that serves them. And that was my original plan. But when I woke up, I was thinking, no, maybe that's not what I want. It's too far away. They may be busy. Well, there's a place that sells cinnamon rolls really close by too, called Cinnamon's Bakery. And that's what I decided I wanted. So Jimmy went and got those, and they were delicious. They're these fresh, huge cinnamon rolls with icing, and they're just delicious. And then we just hung around the house. I think it was rainy. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure it was rainy. It's been rainy a lot recently. So it was probably kind of a rainy day, and I had wanted to go out for dinner. I'm trying to think what else went on that day. I don't even remember what we did. But we ended up, for lunch, there is a chicken place that is local to Houston called Frenchie's Fried Chicken. And I have wanted to try it for a long time. The original one is in the Third Ward in Houston, which is over near the University of Houston. It is a predominant or historically African-American neighborhood. And they've been known for this chicken is supposed to be really good. The restaurant people talk about all the time. The original Frenchies is supposed to be amazing. And then there are franchises, which I'd heard are not as good. So there's one that's actually either in or right next to a gas station, not far from where we live. But I had never really, I don't know why, but I didn't really want to try it. There was something about the location. And then they opened one kind of probably about the same distance in the opposite direction from us in a place. It was really convenient, and I liked the location, so that's what I decided I wanted to try for lunch. Because growing up in Mississippi, I loved fried chicken. It was absolutely my favorite food for years. I could eat some fried chicken, I tell you. I did eat some fried chicken. And when I was in middle school and was able to walk across to the grocery store, or not the grocery store, little convenience store that sold fried chicken from the, convenience store, gas station fried chicken in the South is some of the best fried chicken you'll ever have. Well, they sold it across the street at the, what was that? They were called the Be Quick. It was a little convenience store across the street from where we lived when I was in middle school. And I ate maybe a little bit too much fried chicken. But then I kind of, once I moved to Texas, it's just not, I'm sure there are places in Texas where the fried chicken is just as amazing as what I grew up with in Mississippi. But depending on, Texas is huge and it's such a huge, so many different cultures. But here, if you go to a restaurant, if they have fried chicken at all, it's fried chicken breasts that are cooked kind of like chicken fried steak. It's good, but it's not what I grew up with. And, you know, you can go to places like Popeyes or Kentucky Fried Chicken or Church's, and those are good fried chicken, but it's just not the same. It doesn't taste like the homemade fried chicken that I grew up with. And something about maybe the reviews I'd read or pictures I'd seen or Frenchies put it in my head that I needed to try this because it was going to be more like what I was looking for. And it absolutely was. One of the differences between, say, Popeyes and the chicken I grew up with is not how it's cooked, but as breading versus batter. Popeyes is batter fried. I grew up with, you know, fried chicken that had been, or, you know, chicken had been shaken in, you know, in a flour and seasoning mixture and fried that way. And that's what this was. So it tasted much more similar to what I grew up with, and it was really good fried chicken. And now I'm wanting fried chicken. Oh man, it's making my mouth water. I loved it. That was really good. I was really, really glad we finally tried it. And then I bought the yarn for my Hito Fude, which I've already talked about. And then for dinner, I debated several things. I thought about going into the city and going to Barry's Pizza, which is one of my favorite pizza places. But especially after eating fried chicken, it seemed a little heavy. So we decided not to do that. It's also, like I mentioned, it's also been really rainy, and I just had no desire to get on the freeway and go into the city. So we ended up going to Chewy's, which is our favorite Tex-Mex restaurant. I think I've probably mentioned it before. It started in Austin, and that was the first place I ever ate in Austin when we moved there when I was in high school, right before high school. And actually, I think we ate there when we went to find our apartment. So it was the first restaurant I ever ate in Texas, and it has been my favorite ever since then. I love Chewy's. So even though there's one close by and we go there a lot, I decided that's, you know, it was nice and easy. We knew it would be good food, so we went. That's where we went. And Jimmy and I split a burrito. They have these burritos called Big As Yo Face burritos, which are these very large burritos. They're stuffed with beans, and then you can choose the meat you want in them and cheese and top them with one of their sauces. So we had fajita beef with their deluxe tomatillo sauce, which is like, the tomatillo sauce is kind of a green, like a salsa verde, but the deluxe tomatillo has sour cream in it. So we had that. It was really good. So that was my Mother's Day. And then everything, I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot going on till yesterday was prom. Well, I guess the week before, last weekend, Laura and I went prom dress shopping. So we bought her prom dress. We got really lucky. She has been procrastinating like crazy about the prom dress shopping. So we finally managed to do it, and we were going to go to the Galleria, and actually we were going to go to a mall that's closer to our house, and then she put it off a little bit longer. So she had a study session at school, and so we were going to go to the Galleria, which is not too far from where she goes to high school. And then she decided, after talking to friends, that she just wanted to try JCPenney's. And there's a Penny's, like 2 minutes from her school. So we decided to stop there and see what they had. And they were having a sale, massive sale, 40% off all of their dresses, at least all their prom dresses. And we were able to get a really, really pretty dress for about $80, which for dresses like this, you know, the long evening gown type dresses, it was a super good price. And find one that fit her, and it was, she ended up, if you may have seen pictures of mine on Instagram, but it was a blue dress. It was like that ombre or a gradient from blue, the dark blue to a light blue and back to the dark blue with, it had sparkles all over it. So it kind of looked like the night sky, and it had this panel in the front with some rhinestones. It was just such a pretty dress. She just looked so, so pretty. And then, so prom itself was yesterday, and the only thing we really had, you know, we had running around to do in the morning to make sure she had everything, and I did some of her makeup and left some of her makeup to her friends because I can't do eyes, you know, the eyeliner, I'm terrible at it. So she got her friends to finish that part. They helped her with her hair because, again, I'm helpless when it comes to hair. And we ended up, so they went, you know, we dropped her off and she got ready, and then the whole group of them went to Herman Park, which is a huge park in the middle of Houston. That's where the zoo is and the science museum, and it's just a, you know, really, really large park, but there are some water features and some other stuff, so that's where a lot of people end up going to get pictures for prom. So we met them there, a whole group of them. There were probably about 10 girls or so who all went together. And we got lots of pictures of them, and it was just really nice. When I first mentioned that I wanted to go, her reaction was, oh my God, no, you can't do that. But then she realized that this was a thing and that all of the other parents were going to be doing it too. So she let me come. So we got really good pictures and she had a good time. I mean, overall, I kind of felt the same way about mine. Prom is, you build it up in your head, and then often it's just kind of, okay. And that's what hers was like. You know, she enjoyed being with her friends, and she went to another, you know, they stayed at a friend's house last night and watched movies, and, but, you know, glad she went, but it was not all that. She didn't have a date. They, like I said, they all went as friends, but, I'm sure she had a good time. And, gosh, that's it. I mean, well, she will graduate in 2 weeks, and then a week after that, we are going to North Carolina for orientation. So let's see, actually, looking at my calendar. So if I record again in 2 weeks, the next time I record will be the day after graduation. So that's good. I'll get my recording in, and then the next one will be a week after we come back from North Carolina. So I'll have some more stuff to talk about then. So that is pretty much it. I will record again in 2 weeks. And until then, I hope you have a great couple of weeks and you get to knit and do all of the things that you like to do. Bye. I'll talk to y'all soon.